Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center at Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. And today we are speaking with Dr. Brett Biller. Brett is the Director of Mental Health at the Audrey Hepburn House for Children, and that's on the campus of Hackensack University Medical Center. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Let's start with, we want to talk about the no-hit zone, and we'll explain what that is in a moment, but you are the Director of Mental Health at the Audrey Hepburn House for Children. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So the Audrey Hepburn Children's House is what we refer to as a regional diagnostic and treatment center for children. That's a long term that it really means that it's a center that has medical and mental health professionals that address the needs of children and families who have been identified to have experienced some kind of abuse. Mm-hmm. When I speak, I usually will, people say, well, what do you mean by abuse? It's anything really negative that you could think of and harmful that happens to a child. So it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, exposure to substance use in the home, medical neglect, educational neglect, really a litany of really different, difficult experiences that children have. And we are legislatively identified since 1998 as a regional diagnostic and treatment center. So that means we work with the five counties in northern New Jersey, and we work with families who have been made known to Child Protective Services, law enforcement, and we do both evaluations. So we evaluate the reason the child is responding in the manner that they are. We have medical team to look at what their medical needs are as well. And we provide treatment for children and families so that they could come to a place of healing and recovery. And then the last part of what we do, which should be the first part, so when I talk about it in no particular order, mm-hmm. is prevention, is really getting out there in front of abuse before it occurs, because the evaluations and the treatment, they're phenomenal in treating children and families, and there's great recovery from that. However, if we really want to do something about reducing child abuse and maltreatment, we have to get there out there in front of it, and that is what we do with education and community awareness, and that's what the no-hit zone is actually part of, our community involvement to try to reduce violence in homes and in communities.
Okay, so let's jump into it. The no-hit zone is something that was developed. The very first program was at Hackensack, correct?
So the no-hit zone initially, it's actually a national program. It's actually it's now being used internationally in a couple different countries overseas. However, it's different nationally than what we have here at Hackensack. It was initially started out at Cincinnati Children's and Baby Hospital by a physician who was noticing increased volumes of aggression in the hospital. And this physician posted up a sign that said, no adult hits an adult, no adult hits a child, no child hits an adult, and no child hits a child, because this is what she referred to as a no-hit zone. And over time, she recognized that it really was working, that people within the medical center, because simply of this signage that said, we're against using, responding physically to essentially your emotions, that people were reducing how they responded to their feelings. So they weren't as aggressive. And that caught on. And so I became aware of this program about 7 years ago and really worked to bring it to our network. And when we did, is what we realized is there's two aspects of reducing violence or aggression. And that is, one is changing the mindset of the community, mm-hmm. because for the most part, large aggressions, of course, are not acceptable, but the community accepts using physical discipline in large part. Not everybody, of course, and it's legal, in fact, which to me is ironic that if we look at it, if I were to hit you in public, mm-hmm. that's against the law. But if I were to hit a child who's less able to defend themselves,
sure, yeah.
and I identify it as correcting their behavior, that's perfectly legal.
Spanking is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, spanking. Legal spanking, correct,
right.
Not physical abuse. So what we've done is, first of all, we're the first healthcare organization in the state to bring the no-hit zone and adopt the no-hit zone throughout our network. We are the first health network in the country to initiate this throughout the network. And we've added to it because from our perception is we could educate and change mindsets about physically responding to our feelings. But if we want to get really looking at the research, we want to get at changing mindsets, we have to also change mindsets in homes. So what we did was, in addition to putting the signage up throughout the medical center and educating our team members about the negative impact of physically responding to our emotions, including physical discipline in the homes, we've created these packets that have information for community members, as well as fidget toys, crayons, coloring books, so that when a team member at Hackensack Meridian Health sees a parent or a caregiver or somebody getting frustrated, they're able to offer these packets to them, which helps in two ways. One is it provides an education about how do we respond to our feelings so it doesn't become physically aggressive.
Right.
It provides information about non-physical means of discipline. It provides a distraction for the parent and the child to hope to address the what's going on in the moment. And it provides a link to what we've added to the no-hit zone. And those are what we're referring to as positive and productive coaching groups. And in those groups, which we have live in person at both Hackensack University Medical Center as well as at Jersey Shore Medical Center, we also have virtual groups available. And what it is it's a six-session group where we work with families, caregivers, to validate where they come from in using physical discipline, meaning that we come from a place of not looking at parents who use physical discipline negatively or, you know, coming down against them, but say, hey, we recognize where you come from because there are religious reasons, there's cultural reasons, there are family history reasons that we use discipline. So we meet them at that level and say, hey, let's talk about what physical discipline is. And we recognize that it's really a response to our feelings in a way that, you know, we hope to correct behavior. And what I mean by that is, if you think about it, if your child is having a tantrum or hits a sibling or something, we typically use physical discipline when are angry, scared, fearful, and we don't perceive we have any other options.
You're talking about the adult response to that.
Yes, the adult response to the child's behavior.
Right, maybe grab the child by the arm to pull them away, something like that.
That or spanking or, you know, kneeling on rice or something in that matter. And ironically, if you look at the research, 75% of adolescents will say that they've been physically disciplined at some time in their life. When you ask parents if they use physical discipline, 80% of them will say no. So there's obviously a difference there. And what to me is saying is that parents really don't want to use physical discipline. It's a last resort, and that's why they're not acknowledging it. And, you know, if we think about it too, parents don't use physical discipline when they're calm, cool, collective. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
Rare that you ask a parent, they're like, yep, we're sitting and having a picnic outside and having a great time. I saw, you know, my son hit my daughter, so I called them over nicely, and I said, okay, we're going to spank. If that doesn't happen, it's when we're
The yelling
angry.
Comes first, right? Usually you don't go right to the hitting. As a parent, you're not going to just go over and spank. You're going to try and get them to stop, and then they don't stop, and then it gets bigger and bigger, and then it turns physical.
Right, exactly. So if we think about it, we use physical discipline when we are distraught and emotionally, you know, done at that point. So what our parenting group does is we understand where parents come from in using physical discipline. We explore some of the cultural, religious, historical background to that. We discuss the negative impact of physical discipline, both on the child in the moment, how it's less effective than we think, and long-term on the negative impact on social relationships, on aggression later in life and in the community, the message it sends to the child. And then we provide them coping strategies to deal with not only the parenting aspect, so the corrective behavior, but also how to deal with their emotions first. And the idea is that we're going to model for children how we would like them to be responsible adults. Mm-hmm. So we would like our children to be able to manage their feelings and have skills to manage their emotions. We want our children to be responsible and credible for their actions, because the research does show that there is a correlation between physical aggression at home, or discipline, because they're referring to discipline as aggression. And there's mm-hmm. also, there's a very fine line legally between what's legally allowed in physical discipline illegal in physical discipline. And it often, you come with the intent of physical discipline, and then it gets to the point, because of our emotions, as something that's illegal, and then you have a whole...
Yeah, it goes other, over the line, and then you're... Yeah.
Problem.
And doctors are always asking kids, you know, when they're in for their physicals or what have you, questions around whether they are being physically abused or not, so they can figure it out.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of kids, you know, most kids will not say yes in the moment, particularly if their parent is there, but they also may not recognize the difference at that point if it's ongoing and persistent. And remember, how kids react is really to feelings and situations is an education. We're born with certain interests, certain feelings, certain those type of things, but how we respond to it is an education. So if we could provide skills to parents on how to manage their emotions, mm-hmm. on how to respond to those, and how to correct behavior in a non-physical manner, we're going to raise a generation of children who will do the same, and we're less likely to see the use of violence in communities. At least that's what the research is currently telling us.
Right. So let me ask you this. So we're talking about the no-hit zone, talking with Dr. Brett Biller, Director of Mental Health at Audrey Hepburn House for Children at Hackensack University Medical Center. And we're talking about the no-hit zone, which we've established is no adult should hit another adult, no adult should hit a child, no child should hit another child, no child should hit an adult. So nobody should hit anybody is basically what it is. But how do you have these classes or these sessions, whether it be in person or virtually, how do you identify the adults or the children or the families for these meetings, for these classes?
So they're self-identified.
They need to come forward with that. You're not finding, you know, people who and would you agree that the people who are have the the people who have a bigger issue with it are not volunteering because it's much more physical. It's definitely not on the legal side.
So yes and no. It's ironic because that was my first thought. And coming into this, we were like, you know, we're going to get the families who are more receptive to this, and we're not going to get the families who have ongoing issues. Now, there's two things. One is the current program, as we started, has been supported by a grant from Department of Children and Families. However, it's a preventative program, so none of the families that we're working with right now have been identified to have engaged in abusive discipline. These are all families who have, you know, been at our medical center and gotten information through the packets we distribute or the signs that are posted mm-hmm. throughout the network, or through social media, have seen these, the ads that we've had for them, or reels, as they say. Ironically, similar to what you're thinking, is I thought we would get parents who have a good skill set already and just, you know, need to deal with their feelings or so forth. But we've had a large group of parents really respond who acknowledge that they hit their kids and they don't want to anymore. Or we've also had a group of parents who've responded that they hit their kids, they believe in hitting their kids, and there's no reason that they shouldn't. And they're coming really to, I guess, initially, tell us where we're wrong. And ironically, within the first session, I would say 95% of them, the mood, and I love when they come to this, the mood changes dramatically when we give examples. And the ones that have really changed are the ones who come at it from a perspective of, well, my Bible tells me I could hit my child, or culturally this is accepted. And we really dive into it because we have culture, we have leaders from religious communities in different religions who have sat and discussed where that's a misconception. It's nowhere in the Bible does it actually have that, you know, known phrase that everybody uses about spare the rod, spoil the child. It's some misconceptions. So we bring that up and we discuss it right then, and there's a change in demeanor, there's a change in attitude. And so it's really been a rewarding experience. The other group, just, you know, that we have of parents is we have, we're working with Head Start and early Head Start programs in Jersey City, Patterson, Hackensack, Red Bank, Freehold, Asbury Park, and Neptune. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those families are already involved in the Head Start and early Head Start, and it's great because they're younger caregivers. And those individuals, too, you know, they may, because of their younger, may not have access to other resources. Those families are families who frequently use physical discipline and hadn't previously identified that as something of concern.
Talking with Dr. Brett Biller, and we're talking about the national no-hit zone, which is that nobody should hit anybody, and teaching families, parents, and children how to do that. In speaking with children and when trying to change their behavior, it's different for all different ages, right? You can't have, there's not one remedy for someone who's, say, 3 and then also 9 or 14, correct?
Yeah, you know, you hit on a really good point. And when you look at physical discipline, most caregivers who use physical discipline are using physical discipline on children between 3 and 8 and sometimes 3 to 11. There's a significant drop-off in using physical discipline with children who are above that 9, 10, and 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thankfully, it's one of those things we start to understand that as kids get older, really, you know, physical discipline in itself may have a short-term positive effect where we see in the moment the child will stop what they're doing, but it shows that long-term it really does not have the effect that we want. So it's the change in different types of discipline is either parents realizing, you know what, I've been hitting my kid, it's not effective, or they're just getting older and they respond differently to it as well. So
they're hitting back.
The reason for that. Yeah, truthfully, yeah. Is hitting back. And a lot of times, if you think about it, you know, our caregivers, we're supposed to have our closest relationship with them. So the idea of hitting your child who you seek to love and cherish and so forth and rationalize it based on you want to change and affect positive behavior is kind of counterintuitive, because it demonstrates that we respond physically to somebody we love when we have lost emotional control. It interferes with that social relationship, and it models for kids how they're supposed to react in the playground or at school.
Yeah.
We really want to model for kids, and that's what the group is about. We go through these 6 sessions, and we look at them as coaching sessions, because coaching is different. You know, when we look at coaches are mentors. They have a knowledge base. They're part of the team, if you would. And so that's why we say they're not therapy. They're not classes. They're really coaching sessions. We're mentors to these parents, and we're really trying to build cohesion between the caregivers in the group so that after the 6 sessions, they could support each other as well as turn back to the coach. So we had our emails and phone are available to the leaders of these groups, and they can continue to utilize those folks as resources. But we see that parents, we will model throughout the group for parents how to manage emotions, how to respond to their feelings, provide coping strategies and discipline so that they can then model that for their children. And that is what the research is showing is more effective in discipline, is modeling how you would like for your child to act. Mm-hmm. They will follow you. If we all remember those ads back, I guess, in the 80s, 90s, where on television where a father catches their son doing drugs.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. I learned it from you, right?
I learned it from you.
That was the line. I learned it from you, Dad.
I can even picture the dad.
I can picture the actor, the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
what do you say when you have these sessions? And you said that some parents come in and they don't agree with your theory, let's say, and they say something like, "Well, my mom used to hit me with a wooden spoon. My dad used to smack me with a belt, and I turned out okay." What do you say to those? Because a lot of people are thinking that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. My first response is, could you imagine how much better off you'd been if they didn't hit you? So, we joke about that. And, you know, because there was somebody that came in and he's an attorney and he said, you know what? I could remember back that my parents hit me and I turned out, right? I'm an attorney. And I said, well, maybe if they hadn't hit you, you would have actually been a doctor. And he laughed or whatever. We joked about it. But the truth is that if we think about it, what the research shows at least is if you look and you ask kids in the moment when they're being hit immediately after, obviously we can't interview them. What I'm talking about, if you were to ask them, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, a lot of times when asked, what is the reason you're hit? The child still responds to the emotional aspect. They'll say, my mommy's mean, she doesn't love me, my uncle this, whatever it may be. They respond to the negative aspect. If you ask them years down the road, as if, you know, as you say, as the listeners are saying, is, well, I knew I was hit, it was because of X, Y, and Z, we do understand later on in life. So then the response is, if you want your children to learn the behaviors when they're adults, then go ahead, continue to hit them. If you want them to learn in the moment right then and there and change their behaviors, then maybe we need to do something different.
Talking about the no hit zone program. So I guess my next question is, what about the parents who come in and they don't seem to be physical? They just come in because they feel like, you know, maybe it's been on their mind or they yell a lot or something like that. More of like a verbal abuse.
And that's perfect because the groups, as we said, are really trying to create a community of support for all caregivers for two reasons. One is those are individuals, too, who could assist the other group members, the other team members there in order to address the concerns and really bounce off ideas. Because, well, we do have a leader, this what we're calling our coach. The other team members all help out as well and think, oh, you know what, this worked for me, this didn't work for me. So we do encourage folks who will acknowledge, you know, I haven't used physical discipline, but I have trouble managing my emotions in parenting, so this is going to help. Or I've tried 12 different things, I don't want to use physical discipline. This group is something that can assist as well. And at the core of it, having parents who utilize different means of discipline, not even physical discipline, coming to the groups is really helpful because the core of the program is really to change community mindset about the use of physical discipline / physical aggression, and that's just going to be a slow roll. So if we have people who in the group who are already recognizing that they don't support physical discipline, then that helps also change the mindset of the people in the group. It's sort of, you know, if we think about it, changing the mindset of when smoking cessation programs first started, that was a slow roll. We didn't have the information that we have now about the negative impact, you know, medically and so forth, and people really enjoyed smoking their cigarettes. It wasn't until we were able to, not me when I say we, but the community was able to demonstrate that it is a negative impact on the health, that it has a negative impact even on those who don't smoke. And there was a change in the community mindset that there was a change in people in their behaviors. It's the same thing that we're looking here is we recognize it's going to be a slow roll here. But the more we change the mindset of the community, the less acceptable it's also going to be for our teens, adolescents, and adults who have resorted to violence in communities, and we see, and you know, even in at the parade for the Kansas City Chiefs, these were two minors who got into a dispute and chose to use guns to resolve the dispute. So we need to really change the thought process of communities in general on responding to their feelings in an aggressive manner. So it's great if we get people who already are of that mindset to help move that wave.
Doctor, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Dr. Brett Biller, Director of Mental Health at the Audrey Hepburn House for Children on the campus of Hackensack University Medical Center, talking about the No Hit Zone program. For more information, go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this show, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we'll talk again next week.